Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. As we near the end of this week with two more broadcasts and podcasts, today's and tomorrow's, I want to pull together our discussion about the nature of the relationship of God the Father and God the Son. Our text this Christmas is Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, and it begins, "But when the fullness of the time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman." Thus far, we have discussed the meaning of when the fullness of the time came, as well as the deity of Christ, God sent forth, and the humanity of Christ, his Son, born of a woman. The rest of verse 4 and verse 5 really deals with what Jesus Christ accomplished as he lived out his humanity while being God. We are coming to that soon, but here I think there is a helpful question that we really must now ask. I'll give you the question, then attempt to answer it within our set time constraints. Cue my oft-repeated phrase, "There will be more that needs to be said than we have time for." The question is, why must Jesus Christ be both God and man? Why must Jesus Christ be both divine and human? Why? Well, to answer this important question as concisely as possible, let's turn to the Heidelberg Catechism. The what? A catechism is simply a set of Christian doctrines or teaching laid out in a question and answer format. For example, the Heidelberg Catechism begins like this. Question: what is your only comfort in life and death? Answer: that I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's quite a start, and absolutely true. Heidelberg is the city in Germany where this catechism was originally written and published in the year 1563. For the purposes of our discussion, let's drop down to question number 16 in the Catechism. Here is the question and the answer. I'm quoting from the Heidelberg Catechism. Question: why must Christ the Mediator be a true and righteous human? Answer: God's justice demands that human nature, which has sinned, must pay for sin. But a sinful human could never pay for others. Several scriptures are then given to support this excellent answer, and I will come to those, but first let me be sure you got the answer. We often have to hear truth many times before it sinks in, and while we do not have much time, we certainly have enough time for me to say this again. God's justice demands that human nature, which has sinned, must pay for sin. But a sinful human could never pay for others. Well, there will be many, many people who will not like this answer. They see no need for Jesus to be the true and righteous human because they do not believe God demands that we must pay for our sin. The men and women who do not care for this answer do not see justice in God such that he will penalize the sinner, such that he demands payment for our sin against him and against one another. Is this what you think? Is this what someone you know thinks? Is there resistance in believing that God's justice demands payment for sin? I hope that is not how you feel, because if that is how you feel, then according to the Bible, you are wrong. And this error will be catastrophic for you and anyone who takes your advice on this. The Bible says that God is just, and he does demand payment for every person's sin, and that all people sin. so that no one escapes his just judgment. Now that is not good news. However, this is where Christ comes into our lives as the one who pays the penalty in full for our sin if we will put our faith and trust in him. Listen to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 26 and 27. I am reading in Hebrews, very near the end of the New Testament, chapter 7, verses 26 and 27. As I read, keep in mind that here Jesus is referred to as the high priest. For it was fitting for us to have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separated from sinners and exalted above the heavens, who does not need to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because this he did once for all when he offered up himself. Wow, that is quite a statement. The man Jesus was holy, innocent, undefiled, and separated from sinners. That is, Jesus was not. Jesus was never a sinner. He is the only true and righteous human. Therefore, only Jesus did not have to pay for his own sins because he had no sin. And Jesus had to be human to pay for the sins of other humans because only human beings sin. What Jesus did is he became human in order to pay for the sins of other humans. He offered up himself. He paid the penalty for sin on our behalf. That's Hebrews 7, 26 and 27. I've been passing along several gems from Louis Burkhoff to you this week, and I cannot resist another. On this, he writes, only such a truly human mediator who had experimental knowledge of the woes of mankind and rose superior to all temptations could enter sympathetically into all the experiences, the trials, and the temptations of man and be a perfect human example for his followers. Unquote. If Jesus had sinned as we sin, then how could he have paid for our sins? He could not. Had Jesus sinned, he would have fallen under the same condemnation as us. But Jesus did not sin. Therefore, only he can pay the penalty for our sin. God accepts Christ's payment because Christ's payment comes from sinless perfection. Jesus did for us what we could never, ever do for ourselves. If you are a Christian and you did not just say amen, then you need to see a medical doctor. Are you breathing? Are you alive? Jesus did not sin. Therefore, only he can pay the penalty for our sin. God accepts Christ's payment because Christ's payment comes from sinless perfection. Jesus did for us what we could never do for ourselves, and that is the greatest gift we have ever received. I don't care what gifts you are getting this Christmas, this one tops all by a long shot. Eric Raymond summarizes this well when he writes, quote, in short, Jesus had to be a man so that he could identify with us, suffering in our place and sympathizing with us in our weakness. The Redeemer had to be truly human in order to suffer and sympathize, end quote. Okay, I trust you are still with me. Maybe some have tuned me out. Well, for those still engaged, let's move down in the Heidelberg Catechism to the next question of interest to us, and that is question number 17. This deals with why Jesus must be God. Question 16 was why Jesus must be man. And now question 17 is why Jesus must simultaneously be God. Question, why must Christ the Mediator also be true God? Answer, so that the Mediator, by the power of his divinity, might bear the weight of God's wrath in his humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. I will repeat that, and then you can think about it overnight, and we will come back to this and discuss it tomorrow. The Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer number 17 says, question, why must Christ the Mediator also be true God? Answer, so that the Mediator, by the power of his divinity, might bear the weight of God's wrath in his humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. We are pulling together our good discussion about the nature of the relationship of God the Father and God the Son, and we are being assisted in this by very able theologians and pastors. This gives us a lot to ponder and think about. This also gives us potent reminders of what Christmas is all about. And these truths call us to worship Jesus Christ, the King. In the words of another Christmas carol I enjoy, come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. That is from Angels We Have Heard on High. Do you know it? Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come, adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Indeed, glory to God in the highest. Worship him and join me tomorrow for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.